from the prophets of Bani Israel, because they are related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are the scholars of the Ummah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because he has the highest rank amongst the prophets, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This relation makes them higher than the prophets, other prophets in the Bani Israel. Then the one who is the successor, vizier of the prophet, is definitely, because of this relation, higher in rank than the other prophets. We have many narrations in which it is said on the Day of Judgment, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a pulpit on which, on the top of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will sit, and on the next step, Ali ibn Abi Talib will be sitting. And there are other things as well. Now, if we logically want to talk about that, the narration which our brothers do accept, and that narration is that the ulama of the ummah of, or the ummah or the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are superior or higher in rank than the prophets of Bani Israel, then these ulama, these are even there, it is not mentioned that they are fallible or infallible. We have a difference within Shia school of thought. We believe that these ulama are only Ahlul Bayt, Rasikhuna fil ilm. It's not every single alim. It's not about general public. It's about those who are the successors of the Prophet. And because they are the successors of the Prophet, that's why they are superior than the other prophets. So this narration itself proves the superiority or being higher in rank from the prophets, from the other prophets, through this. So this is one of the reasons that we believe. The other reason is, obviously, there are some narrations from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. For example, when Imam Ali alayhi salam was in his last time, when Sa'sa came to Imam Ali, he asked Imam Ali that, "Oh Ali, are you superior?" Or, for example, like Musa alayhi salam. Imam said, "I am superior, I'm higher in rank than the Musa alayhi salam." He said, "How come you are superior?" Imam said, "When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam to go to Pharaoh and call him towards the right path, he had a fear. He said, 'Oh Allah, send my brother Harun with me.'" He make him my vizier and send him with me. So he had a fear. But the day when Prophet said to me, "Oh Ali, you need to go to Mecca and you need to announce the chapter Tawbah, Bara'atu min Allahi wa Rasulihi," I had no fear. While at that time, when Musa was said to go there, the excuse which he brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that, "Oh Allah, I have killed one of them and they're after me. So I have a fear, send Harun with me." Whereas when I went to Mecca, there was no house of which their brother, father, uncle, I don't know, relative, I killed in the battle of Badr. There was no house in which they were after me. All of them were my enemies. I have killed each person from each house. And in the same time, without having any fear, I went on top of Kaaba and I recited the chapter Tawbah for them. And I came back. Then Sa'sa asked, "Then are you superior than other prophets?" There Imam Ali also mentions that I am, he mentions the reasons basically. And it's a long narration that we have there. So because Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is the great blessing because of which the religion was completed, because Prophet has made him his successor, because Prophet is superior than others, then obviously his vizier or his successor is also superior than the other prophets. And we have other narrations as well. For example, when Adam alayhi salam repented, he took some names. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was in the well, he took some names, those names which were on the doors of heaven. It's the name of the five personalities. And obviously, there was another narration which I mentioned, I think, in the previous program, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created my nur first, my light, then Imam Ali's light, and then Fatimatul Zahra's light. So even in this process of creation, after the Prophet Allah created the Allah created the Ali alayhi salam, and then Fatima al-Zahra, and from their nur he created the rest of the world. So all the prophets who later came, they were created by these lights which Allah has created. So Allah did not create it after the prophet's light, the light of other prophets. And this is acceptable in the Sunni and the Shia, because these narrations are narrated in both books, in both schools it's been narrated. So these are not the things which are refused. And that's why in the Ahl Sunnah, I'm not talking about the Wahhabism, because Wahhabism is totally a different story. And they even don't believe in most of the basic beliefs of Ahl Sunnah. So they have a different story. Within Ahl Sunnah, if you see, if someone wants to reach to the level of Wali or Waliullah, if anyone wants to become a saint, he has to knock the door of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
This is within the Sunnah?
Ahl Sunnah, yes. And on the top of that, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا, it does not mean that the Prophet has the knowledge only for his ummah. It's for all. You know, after the death, there is a continuation of, you know, life.
Can you translate it?
أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌ بَابُهَا, I'm the city of knowledge and Ali is the door. And whoever wants to come here, فَلْيَأْتِ بِبَابِهَا. Whoever wants to come, he has to come through the door. This is the narration of the Prophet ﷺ. After the death, we have another life. There is a discussion of knowledge, because all the prophets did not reach to the level of, you know, the knowledge, the extreme knowledge, which we can say. And if they want to reach to that, obviously they will come towards the Prophet. And Prophet has said, whoever wants to come to me, he has to come through the door. And the door is Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Thank you very much, Sayyid. Deeply interesting topic. To understand correctly, there's a lot of narrations, both in our text, but mostly in our Sunni brothers' text, mentioning the rank of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and how he is superior to the rest of the prophets. And this is not something that is new. This is old, and this is acceptable, as well as the narration. You also mentioned a very important narration that the Prophet stated that the scholars of my nation are better, superior,
greater than,
in comparison to the prophets of Bani Israel. Yes. And this is a narration accepted widely in all sects of Islam. So that, in comparison to Ali ibn Abi Talib, should not be a shocker, that Ali ibn Abi Talib, the guardian of Allah, the saint of Islam, is superior to the rest of the prophets, not only the ones of,
I don't know if we have time,
Bani Israel. Yeah,
there is one more narration which is very famous. You know, there are many proofs in the history, many proofs. For example, on the day of Khandaq, the battle of Khandaq, when Ali ibn Abi Talib has hit Amr bin Abdawad, Prophet has said, "Zarbatu Aliyin yawm al Khandaq, yawm al Khandaqi, afdalu min ibadati thaqalain." One hit which he has did, Ali ibn Abi Talib, is afdal, is greater than. Ibadatul thaqalain means the jinn and ins. Ibadah is the worshipping. The whole jinn and ins, including all prophets, if they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one hit of Ali ibn Abi Talib is afdal. It's greater, it's higher in rank.
And the worship of both?
Both of
humans
them. Humans and the jinns. Wajhullah is Ali ibn Abi Talib, you know, the face of Allah. Yadullah, hand of Allah. Udhnullah, ears of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, all the body parts that we have when we refer to Imam Ali, the Prophet has said, like, he is Udhnullah, he is Wajhullah, he is Lisanullah, Aynullah, eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? It means that after the Prophet, obviously someone who is higher in rank is Ali ibn Abi Talib, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Just to elaborate for our dear listeners, the hit that the Sayyid was talking about was the hit that Imam Ali slayed Amr ibn Wud al-Amiri with on the Battle of Khandaq. He hit him, and the Prophet mentioned that hit to be superior, more superior than the worship of both man and jinn. Sayyid, thank you very much for guesting us today.
You're welcome.
This is your host, Haider Bahadli, from Q&A on Islamic Beliefs, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban. Inna fi al-jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this warm, beautiful Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, in Iran, today marks as the Day of Nature. As an ancient tradition, it is the end of Nowruz ceremonies, and the Iranian people get out of their homes to enjoy nature in open spaces, especially in plains and green places. So, congratulations, the Day of Nature, to all those around the world who celebrate this day. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. Today is April 2nd, 2023. And as you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And we've received reception reports as well as letters and emails from around the world. We have reception reports from Lars Eskoglund from Sweden, from Ajit Kumar from India, and Anand Mohand from India, one of our old and regular listeners. So Lars, Ajit, and Anand, thank you very much for your reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and your favorite program, Listeners Special. And we've received many emails from around the world, from Paul Flanagan from the UK, from Olof Ratovara from Finland, one of our old and regular listeners. Igor Belevich from Belarus, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Abu Sayyid And the last but not the least is an email from India from Adita Pritikia. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. So, Igor Belevich's email from Belarus. Yes, Igor Belevich, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. Igor says, hello again, Radio Iran. I think he means IRIB English Radio. Please accept my greetings from Belarus. I am glad to announce that I have become one of the regular listeners of your radio in English on shortwave as well. I love Iran and its rich culture as an old civilization in the world. Hope to hear from you more. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Igor Belevich from Belarus, and thank you very much for this email. We at IRIB English Radio are also glad to have you as a regular listener from Belarus. So, Igor, write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Thank you again, Igor Belevich from Belarus. From Bangladesh, as I said, we've received an email from Abu Sayyid. Abu Sayyid from Bangladesh says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from Bangladesh. We are old listeners of IRIB English Service. We have had the chance to visit your website and listen to your programs regularly. We are looking forward to writing to you again and again, and I hope we can deepen the relationship with you and get in touch with you more than before. I would be very happy to receive a calendar and some souvenirs for our club in the new year. Salam and greetings to you and appreciations to you for this email, Abu Sayyid from Bangladesh. We also hope that this mutual relationship between you and IRIB English Radio gets deep day by day. As for your request about sending you the materials you mentioned, including the calendar and souvenirs, actually to you and your club members, unfortunately, I should say that sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio in the time of pandemic is impossible. So for your information, it's temporarily halted. But after the pandemic is over around the world, we get back on track and send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. So in the time being, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Thank you, Abu Sayyid from Bangladesh. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So here's a short message from Adita Pritika from India. Adita says, "Hello, IRIB. I am Adita, writing from Tamil, India. I am a new DXer and I am 20 years old. I feel glad that I'm sending one of my first reception reports to IRIB. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Adita, thank you very much for sending this message to IRIB English Radio. So you are a new DXer, so please listen to IRIB English Radio programs. And in your upcoming details to IRIB English Radio, tell us your views about our broadcast. We wish you all the best. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification." And from Finland, we've received an email from Olof Ratovara, one of our old and regular listeners. Olof says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Finland. Thank you for verifying my listening report. In my opinion, the program I heard was good and useful. There are interesting articles on your website, which I like the most. You're doing a great job. Best regards, your DX listener from Finland." Salam and greetings to you from Tehran, Olof Ratovara from Finland. Thank you very much for your email. You should know that we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, Olof. It's good to hear that you like the programs. I wish you could tell us the programs you had, the name, the title of that program that you found good and useful. Anyway, we wish you luck and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Olof Ratovara from Finland, please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Paul Flanagan from the UK has sent us an email. Paul says, "Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, hello, I have a QSL report for you. Please, could you send me a printed QSL and an up-to-date English program schedule? Best wishes, and I look forward to hearing from you very soon." Salam and greetings to you, Paul. Thank you very much for this email. Appreciations to you for this email, and please accept our electronic QSL as verification, because sending any material, including a printed QSL card, is temporarily halted in the time of pandemic. So please accept this electronic QSL as verification. And to find the program schedule, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en. Anyway, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Paul from the UK. And here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Lars Skoglund from Sweden, Ajit Kumar from India, Anand Mohan from India, Igor Belevich from Belarus, as well as Abu Sayed from Bangladesh, Olof Ratovara from Finland, Adita Pritika from India, and Paul Flanagan from the UK. Please keep in touch with us, dear listeners. We wish you all the best in the world. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098 21 202-201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Start. Movement. Speed. Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and you're listening to You Station. I am Beta.
And I am Asma at your service.
So, Asma, this is Your Station again. A new story.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. I can see that on your face. So, you told us.
That means you know the topic.
Happy. Happiness.
Are you
happy with your life?
Oh my God. What a question.
Yeah.
Now, many philosophers, many scientists
are
trying
to find
an answer for that.
I'm talking about you.
Well, about me. Well, we're living. Well, nobody has promised us a merry, cherry, happy, beautiful life.
Yeah, la vie en rose.
Yeah, in this world. Life is a difficult thing. And if you do not have difficulties, you're going to be suffering mentally. You know what I mean?
Me, myself, I'm not trying to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to enjoy my life. And I think this joy...
And have you enjoyed up until now?
Yes. You know, I'm not telling you that there weren't difficult times.
Uh-huh.
There weren't, I don't know, difficulties. There weren't obstacles. No, I'm not telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, despite all these difficulties,
yeah,
I try to maintain happy. But happiness, I think, is not just laughing or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wanted just to say that. Let's talk about the concept of happiness.
Happiness, exactly. You know, for example, I've experienced this situation so much that I was with my friends, mm-hmm, in the group of my friends, and they were all laughing, joking, and so on. And I was laughing at that time, but deep in myself, I wasn't happy at all at that group.
I know.
You know? And I feel it so much, this emptiness that you feel sometimes with other people, that all of them are laughing at, I don't know, a tiny and easy thing. But you're like, come on, it may be funny, I may be laughing, but I'm not happy.
Tell you something, maybe modernity has also had a great role in changing every single person's ideology about happiness.
Happiness.
You know, maybe if you have asked me about happiness in life 10 years ago, even 5 years ago,
yeah,
I would have been saying something different.
Yeah.
But right now, when you see too many people are suffering, when you see too much of wars, when you see too much of famine all around the world, when you see that there is this impartiality between people, there are some people who are more equal than the others, then I'm talking about all the sad things that happens in this,
yeah,
world, then you as a human being who's got a heart and emotion, you cannot feel happy. You know what? Even if you have all the good things in the world for yourself,
yeah,
but you don't feel happy deep down because your happiness, I guess, is dependent on the world's happiness. You know what I mean?
You know what? I know what you mean. And I want to add something to whatever you've told up to here. There is a key word here, satisfaction.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's very important.
Let's skip this satisfaction after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
You know, you did something that was really true. I don't know, economical problem, social problem, whatever that we can
see we can face, I don't know, in social media, mm-hmm. whatever, will actually affect our happiness. But there yes. is another thing that I told you before the break, satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, I think there is a strong connection between satisfaction and happiness. Mm-hmm. When you are satisfied with your life, with other people's life, with your situation, you are happy. You know,
again, we come back to the concept of happiness. Yeah. Sibita, you're a doctor, and in future you would feel what I'm saying right now even more and more. I'm yeah. sure you do right now as well. As a human being, when you come to home and then you want to sleep, you put your head on your pillow and then you start thinking about the world. And then when you remember there is a hospital full of people who are suffering sick, from a yeah. kind of sickness that does not have a cure, you're not going to feel happy with life, no matter how much happy you yourself are. See, yeah. as a person, as a human being who is so much in love with literature, knowing that there are too much of pain in this world, too much of rejection, too much yeah. of suffering, too much of whatever makes you unhappy. But the thing is, okay, I know life is not, maybe to me, life is not a happy thing, but life is moving as well.
Yeah.
You know, the earthquake happens in a special place of the earth. After a month, everyone is back to their life.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, so let's go to this point that life shouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Who said there is that no life necessary. Must be happy?
I mean, there are moments of happiness in mm-hmm. everybody's life, yeah. no matter how poor, no matter how exactly. miserable you are. There are times that you feel happy.
Tell you something, and even in the miserable moments, just like yeah. imagine there has been something very sad happening to you. But then in a slight moment when you just get so close to Allah
yeah.
and then you feel like your heart has been touched by His blessings, in the very middle of your miserable situation, you feel happy. And it's not just happy like laughing. No, I feel it in the depth of my heart, a sort of, I don't know how to call it, satisfaction maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or even, let me tell you something like that. I read a sad novel. I watch a sad movie. I look at a sad painting, but from the depth of my heart, I feel some sort of sympathy that makes me feel like there is happiness.
Yeah.
Enjoyable thing. I don't know what to call it.
I know what you mean. And also there is another thing which I want to mention about happiness. Happiness is somehow related to an environment. And, mm-hmm. you know, there is a kind of proportion of happiness, you know. For example, think like you don't have, I don't know, an eye.
Uh-huh.
And you see someone who is completely blind.
Yeah.
He or she doesn't have any eye. And you're like, you feel happier than that person because you feel superior, because you think you have a blessing that yeah, other people that,
that's
doesn't
so
have.
Sad, yeah.
This is sad, but at the same time, I don't know, make you feel happy.
Yeah.
Because you're not that miserable.
I'm telling you, see, who said that life must be... I'm actually against that notion that people just go around and say, okay, be happy, life is so cheerful. No, yeah. life is not so cheerful, just the way you try to make it
you
look like.
You have to maintain realistic, you know. Even being a pessimist is not a good thing.
Yeah, no,
because
being realistic.
It will bother you.
See?
Yeah.
Life is a short and temporary journey.
It
we
is.
Are not created for this world. Yeah, we have been asked to work on this world so hard. We have been asked to enjoy every single moment we have. Every single chance that comes to us, we have to seize it. Every single thing and blessing that comes to our life, we have to thank God for it. We have to be grateful for it. Yet, life has got too much of terrible situations in it as
and,
well.
And whatever you told up to here just reminds me something. There are a group of people who think the goal and the perfection is the happiness. And they think like, okay, I have to be happy. There is obligation in this life to be happy. And I'm going to search for this happiness.
Well, that's goofy.
Yeah? Yeah, exactly. And these people will face emptiness after...
Exactly,
after
yeah.
After even a short time.
After a headache that happens to them,
exactly.
they would understand.
And, you know, they sacrifice everything to, I don't know, gain money, mm-hmm. to gain prosperity, to gain, I don't know, fame, to feel happy, but they won't.
Well, then, let me just ask the dear audience to think about this and then us go for a short break. After we come back, I'll say something.
Stay happy. So my cheerful, happy, small, bad.
It's ironical.
She's using irony.
You
always make me sad by announcing that it's the time to break. So, you know.
But maybe the audience, maybe the listeners would be happy.
Of course. No.
Maybe.
You shouldn't. There is obligation here.
She's talking to you. She's talking to you.
So, we were talking about the concept of happiness and how we should maintain happy. And who said life is all happy? We came to the point that this may be dramatic. Yeah, and sometimes there are difficulties. There are times that you're not happy. This is not a bad thing. Just don't sacrifice anything to reach this happiness.
Exactly. And something, when we say that there are too much of difficulties in life, we don't mean that you should be so depressed and look at life as a dark, diabolical thing that has happened to you. No, we don't mean that. Because, you know, if you keep too much of dark things inside your heart and inside your brain, then what kind of a life would it be? You know, I just say that we must be realistic. We must maintain such a realistic point of view to accept all the sad things that I wanted actually to say this thing. After the first loss that happens to you in this world, you would understand that life is not meant to be happy. You know?
Yeah.
When you grow older and you lose your grandparents and they're dear to you, I don't know, whomever is dear to you. When you just come to the point where you think of their loss, you know, you haven't lost them, you just think of them one day not being there, this thing would just eat you from the inside.
And let me add another thing. I think sometimes the pure happiness is not something that will satisfy you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a bitter happiness.
Exactly.
Sometimes you need sorrow to be happy. And the thing I'm going to tell you is that there are times in our lives that, I don't know, something really bad happens. It was a kind of test, a challenge, a new thing, an obstacle, whatever it is, I faced it. And moving on after this disaster is something that will give you, I think, the true happiness.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I understand.
And this, I think this paradoxical content in every part of everybody's life exists.
So, again, what we are saying right in here doesn't mean that we shouldn't be grateful to whatever blessing Allah has given us. Because after all, if you compare yourself to the downtrodden, to those people who do not have half of the facilities, half of the blessings that you have, then you would understand how fortunate person you have been, no matter how many things, there are many things that you might think that you lack in your life, but even with the existence of those things, still you are more fortunate than many people.
Yeah.
So this doesn't mean that we shouldn't be grateful, doesn't mean that we shouldn't go forward, doesn't mean that we shouldn't be active, we shouldn't work hard. It just means that please don't be so silly. Don't just laugh at yourself. Don't mock yourself. Life has never been meant to be a happy thing, because after all, there would be this bitter taste of loss that would happen to every single one of us.
And I see some people that they divide themselves from life, you know?
And they get detached from life.
Exactly. And they are like, I don't know, I'm an individual who, I don't know, there is a story written for me. I cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to seek happiness if you think it'll make you satisfied.
Yeah.
But happiness is not everything.
So then we can rephrase it like this. If you think there's anything that could make you happy,
go for that.
It's okay, go for that. You know, as long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not disobeying Allah, it's okay, go for that.
But love the life as a whole thing.
Yeah, as true and real as it is.
I do agree with that.
So don't go for hallucinations, don't go for stories that are just imagination. Because the bitter taste of that delusion that is going to happen to you after that is going to be even more bitter than accepting the truth as the way it is.
I have only just one gist. The balance is the key.
Yeah, balanced in everything.
Yeah. So thank you, my realistic girl, for being here with me. But unfortunately, it was all the time we had for today's episode.
Yeah.
And I have to thank our dear listeners that
for sure
followed us up to here. And I just want you to be happy, but appreciate the sad moments of your life.
Embrace your life the way it is.
Yeah. And I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Well, parenting or child rearing promotes and supports the physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and intellectual development of a child from infancy to his adulthood. And the same relationship could actually go up somewhere and it could go down. Sometimes it can actually be supporting and sometimes it can be distorting. Now, today in our studio, we have with us a guest speaker, Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, you have been talking with us for quite a while now that what are the different key points that help a parent-child relationship to become better? And you said it should be truthfulness not only in the speech but also in the actions and also expression of love, which is very, very important to make this parent-child relationship a better one. Well, what is the third point that you want to discuss?
As I said, we start off with being truthful, and the truthful expression of love is important. Loving a person, without loving a person, you cannot change him. You can't expect to change him, because the important thing is that you want him to change, you want her to change. So you need to love him for that. Your child or he does not realize that you are doing so because you love him, and he feels or she feels rejected, or he will not accept anything from you. And then thirdly, which is much more important apparently, is that you need to empathize with them, not sympathize. sympathies are important. When the difference between sympathizing
and empathizing,
what is the difference? The difference is when you sympathize with a person, you say, oh, he feels, if I give him some medicine and he won't like it, you, out of your sympathy, especially mothers, they can't bear the child being, you know, pricked with a needle and say, oh, let him, don't take him out. There's no need to give him this injection. He will cry and I will not be able to bear it. And I'm so that's maybe sympathizing. But the empathy is, no, you empathize with him. You feel how he feels. And you feel that, look, you make yourself understand that you need to be in his place or in her place and to do what is important for him or what is important for her. That's empathizing.
As Bill Bullard puts it, that the highest form of knowledge is empathy. So even if you're expressing your form of knowledge in any other way, you could actually express it in a better way in the form of empathy.
Exactly. So empathizing is putting yourself in the other person's place, and before he or she even expresses something,
you understand
that you understand and you take a lead in resolving the problem of a person. That is a very important thing that we need to realize. The Holy Prophet is described in the Holy Quran to be the person who is azizun alayhi ma'anittum.
All right.
It is important. It is very grave for the Holy Prophet what happens upon you, for you as your his followers. O you mu'mineen, raufum bil mu'mineen. He has love for you, and he feels very much concerned with which is whatever befalls you, whatever you are stricken with. He realizes that. He empathizes with you, and he comes up with a solution before you can even understand and realize it. So therefore, we need to empathize with our people.
So sometimes we could actually use the same prophetic stories if we want to teach with our words, with our speech. So this is the best form of the things, you're teaching through speech, that you are actually recalling with your children, with your teens, the stories of Prophet wherein they have been empathetic towards others.
Exactly. Empathizing with others, especially your children, to make them, you feel that you feel for them because you know what they're going through. The problem is that nowadays our parents even don't realize what children are going through. A child, especially in adolescence, in the age of adolescence, is going through so much of a change.
Stress,
and transformation
changes.
And change.
Yeah.
When we were at that age, we also went through that, but we have forgotten that.
Yeah.
We have, most of us have forgotten what befell us.
Yeah.
We don't remember that, and we can't therefore empathize.
But everything has some of the impact that remains with you in your adulthood. We'll talk more with you on this topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, and we are discussing empathy as a key point to develop a better parent-child relationship. Professor, you said that empathy is very, very important. If it's in speech, and the best form is that you go on telling the prophetic stories to your teens, to your children, and at the same time, you were giving us more explanation.
So we need to, number one, be able to foresee or forecast or see what problems a child can face in his life or in her life. In everyday issues, you need to be there for him. You need to be there for her, whether it is going through schooling or going through other stages in their lives. Especially their adolescence, you need to be able to understand and to realize and to visualize that stage. And before,
so the first problem, according to you, here with the parents today, is that
We really don't know what the child is going through, especially the teenager, what a child is going through. And because when there comes a teenage, and then this child feels like there's some generation gap within me and my parents, and then he starts hiding quite a few things, or maybe the behavior in the family has been in a way that a child, he actually prefers to keep things hidden from his parents.
Yes, he or she may feel embarrassed by the fact that if he or she wants to relate something to his father or his mother, he can't do so, because he feels his parents can't even understand, or they cannot feel for him.
Well, Professor, there's this very important point that you discussed here, that embarrassment. This is because of embarrassment sometimes that a teenager hides things from his parents, wherein he needs empathy. But at some of the points, I have been actually interacting with a couple of teenagers, and who come up and say that we don't share things with our parents, or we don't want their empathy, because rather than being empathetic to us, they start behaving like a police. All right, now if this is a problem, you were not supposed to do this. You were not supposed to do this. So they start lecturing. So don't you think parents go wrong over here?
That is the problem, because the parents feel that instead of feeling for their children, they start feeling bad about themselves, because they start thinking, look, if my child has done this wrong thing, if my other family members or my neighbors find out about this, then it will be an embarrassing situation for me. So they start becoming worried about their own status,
yeah,
and the social problems that they may face in the society. So again, they're not empathizing with their child, they're empathizing with themselves.
With themselves.
So that is the problem normally. When, for example, you find a child who needs to get married and his parents are not getting him married, he goes off with a girl goes off with a boy goes off with a girl, and they get, into a situation. And then the parents can't accept that.
Yeah.
They were the cause of that. They did not realize that this child or this girl needs to get married.
So, Professor, we'll discuss more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Salman Lakhvi with us in the studio, and we are discussing empathy as a key point to develop a better parent-child relationship. Professor, you were saying that so many teenagers who feel like just fleeing from the home, or sometimes the situations go worse, they feel like much worse things than that, and that's because of lack of empathy. And why that empathy does not exist? You said that sometimes parents feel like they are empathetic towards their children, but they are actually empathy. They express empathy towards themselves only, not for their children. So
they feel bad about themselves. They feel bad. They feel bad about their children, but they feel worse about themselves, because they feel they will lose their distinguished position they may have in society. Now, the problem is they should preempt that. This should be preemption. For example, nowadays, especially in the age of social media, in the age of the internet, the problem is many of our parents do not know what's happening in the internet.
Yeah.
Many of our parents do not keep abreast with what's happening today in the social media.
Yeah.
And of course, they consider it maybe they don't have time for it, or it is something new. They are not aware of it. They are old. They belong to the older generation of people who didn't know much about social media. Or, for example, they don't know. They feel it is off limits. Maybe there are things which they do not want to see. They cannot see, because really it is prohibited. But their children are being exposed to it, so they should know what's happening. And they need to preempt that. Now, stopping and limiting things is important. Yes, for example, we have the YouTube for kids, maybe, or YouTube or Netflix for kids. That's good. Or other, for example, ways to limit the exposure that our children have. There should be ways to limit that. There should be ways to provide alternatives. So the important thing is that if we want our children to be, you know, protected from the harms of these things which are going around themselves.
Parents also need to educate themselves.
The parents do need to know what's happening. They need to know how to preempt it. They need to know how to protect their children.
Yeah.
And that is learning that they have to do. And sometimes we don't have that learning. So if we need to empathize with our children, we need to know what they're facing, what they are going through. So they need to keep a watchful eye. It shouldn't be in such a way that the child feels that he is being, you know, imposed upon, or there's a person always watching upon me. There should be some subtle ways of being able to monitor what's happening.
All right.
But the parents today need to be much more clever than before.
Yeah. So because the time is changing at a very fast pace that we can even imagine. Well, to conclude, it is just we have to be empathetic. We have to be simply listening. We have to hold the space and we have to withhold our judgments. And we also have to be giving the message to our children that you're not alone. We are with you. Well, thank you so much, Professor. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Eye on Islam.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on Islam, the show where we look at current affairs through an Islamic lens. Each week, we look at a trending news story which has a direct relevance to the religion of Islam, and we break it down from a Muslim perspective. Today, we're going to talk about Iranian Islamic Republic Day, which is a national holiday in Iran, marking the day that the results of the 1979 Islamic Republic referendum were announced, establishing Iran as an Islamic Republic. What does this day represent for Iran and Islam, and what benefits has it brought the Ummah?
A milestone in Iran's history. April 1st, 1979 was the day when the Islamic Republic replaced three millennia of oppressive monarchy in Iran. Islamic Republic Day is an annual celebration of a referendum held months after the victory of the 1979 Islamic Revolution that overthrew the former Pahlavi regime. The ballots asked Iranians to vote yes or no to the concept of an Islamic Republic, and more than 98% of the eligible voters chose yes. Led by Imam Khomeini, the Islamic Revolution was driven by anti-imperialist sentiments, since former Iranian monarch Mohammad Reza Pahlavi was believed to be heavily dependent on Western powers, especially the U.S. The birth of the Islamic Republic revolutionized everything in Iran, even its flag, which used to bear the lion and sun emblem as a symbol of monarchy, now replaced with God's name, Allah, a reflection of Iranians' faith. Other changes include mandatory hijab, constitutional protections for religious minorities, democracy, and the implementation of other concepts taken from Sharia. Iran has now become a thriving Islamic democracy in the Muslim world. Surrounded by dictatorships, Iran has spearheaded support for Muslim causes across the globe, helping Muslims overcome severe obstacles in the face of immoral Western sanctions and efforts to promote regime change in Tehran.
Well, joining us in the studio today to talk about Islamic Republic Day, we have two esteemed guests. Sayed Mohsen Abbas is a TV producer, journalist, political commentator and expert on Iran. He specialises in news, current affairs, cultural, religious and political interest stories. And Batul Sabaiti is a political analyst and activist who has been on the show several times, and we are very happy to have her back as always. Welcome to the show, both of you.